Yes, sir. Let's get after it. It's a Monday morning right here on Sports Radio TSN 1200. So glad you're along for this 28th day of November 2022. Gang's all here. Yes. JR Simmer is back from holiday alongside Hammer. And you're waking up to be just a kind of a gray day ahead. Cloudy skies. Temperature's actually going to fall a few degrees to reach minus one by this afternoon. Tomorrow, we may see a little bit of sunshine. 3 degrees. Wednesday looks like a rainy day, but it's the one mild day of the week as we'll get up to 9. And of course, Wednesday is the final day of November. We're going to get to December and everything's going to be green, relatively speaking. Right now, as you wake up this morning, we are sitting at 2 degrees as we say hello, good morning to the well-tanned, maybe even peeling Sean Simpson. How are you doing this morning, Simmer?
I'm good, Jer. Not into the peeling, and got to say, waking up super early in the dark, although not that cold, but I am very thankful as I drive in to have a job and a couple of fellas that I really enjoy working with, because I'll be honest with you, after a great vacation, a lot of people on that Monday kind of dread that. So good to go. No peeling yet. Lots of sun, lots of tan, and good to be back.
Okay, so the weather, and you're in where again? Dominican? Weather forecast, I think the day that you left, and again, I have the very pessimistic app.
Yeah.
Or maybe I went online and looked at it. Man, there's a lot of rain in this forecast for the week. There was like one sunny day.
Yeah.
And then I see a tweet from Mark Mathot on the Saturday, which I think was the same day you left.
Or maybe he's in Jamaica, though.
He was in Jamaica,
oh, yeah.
Not that far away, and talked about how it was pouring.
Oh, okay.
They lost his luggage.
Yeah,
He had not. He was not off to a good start.
Yeah, so. I got to say, JR, first of all, as far as the icon portion of it, it has a chance to rain. Of all the trips that we've ever done, that's the best weather that we've ever had. So it was about 30 every day. Couple days had a little sprinkling of about 5 minutes, but beyond that, no, it was just absolutely gorgeous. Luggage made it there, made it back, and couldn't have a complaint in the world. It was really a smooth trip and lots of fun. And I know the luggage thing. Now, I am a bit of a veteran traveler, having done it for years working in scouting. But also, hey, one thing you got to do, you got to remember, you don't need much clothes when you're going south. So you pack a couple of pairs of shorts, a couple T-shirts. Maybe a little the toilet you still have for you, just so you can transition in, you know? And I would have thought, Meth, as a traveler, you would have that ability, but we also know people that lose their luggage, it doesn't feel the same, right? You don't feel the same as when you arrive on your trip, so didn't have any of that happen, and it was just a real nice week.
And how about your fellow travelers, either those that you traveled from Canada with, or others that were at the resort, a little too much skin from some people, not enough skin.
What do you mean skin? What do you mean?
Like some people like would treat it as, I guess I'll just take everything off at this stage.
No gearing down.
Yeah, right.
Now, as far as the skin mass and the girth of the people at the resort, there were lots of Americans, so it was a large crowd, and you end up having that, and I every day, I made a concerted effort. I've been going to the gym before I left. I made the effort to go, and it's a work in progress, but I got to be honest with you guys, feel so much better about myself as I was able to integrate with society, with lots of Americans, and realize
that, confidence builder.
Oh, man, like I just, my day two thought, man, I'm the guy. Like,
look what I got going on here, ladies.
I
got
to actually take my shirt off. So, it's a real calm kind of adult resort in a sense of just real chill.
Uh-huh.
Real nice food, nice time, close to the airport. Really
did you do any activities?
There was a lot of plans to have lots of excursions. The only excursion was to the private beach. We got the preferred upgrade, so that was quite nice.
Wow.
So we had
who was allowed to go to the private beach?
Just the preferred people.
Yeah, well, what happens there?
How many preferred people?
I'd say about maybe 50.
Well, that doesn't seem very private.
Well, I meant private. That's what I say, because, I said to Tamira, I actually said this getting on the plane, because when we took the plane down, guys, we had the 737 Dreamliner. Now, I know associated to the one that crashed twice. This one was in good shape. It was the 9 across. It was the big plane.
Oh.
And as I was working my way to the very back, I said to Mira, I said, this is like the Titanic. I think we're in the bottom row. And people are like, the Titanic.
That's known as steerage.
Yeah, exactly.
Steerage.
Exactly. Yep. And so at the resort, I just made reference that with our purple towels versus over in the orange section are the peasants. We'll go to the peasant beach today.
Gotcha.
So I had a little fun.
That was the telltale, yeah. The color of the towels.
It is actually, yeah. Oh, they get kind of an orange. It's just an okay towel.
Yeah.
The purple towel is maybe stuff a couple in your luggage, you know, nice and soft.
What's to stop people with the orange towel people from grabbing, when you go into the pool, from grabbing your purple towel?
Well, no, they're not allowed at, we have our own beach and our own pool. They're in the peasant pool.
Wow.
So that's the one that everyone pees in. Like,
thousands of dollars are people paying and they only get the orange towel service?
That's a great question. But yeah, you just don't even, like most of them, I wouldn't even acknowledge them. Like we're in the preferred.
Don't even look in my direction.
It's a pretty funny system, though. And I don't even know, Jared. I mean, it's funny. They don't even really check, but it was just kind of funny. There were like these little row of plants that were kind of separating the beach, and you had it. But no, ended up being real nice. Anyone that travels down there, though, I think the biggest obstacle, of what our modern-day problems here is the seaweed issue that they've had, I guess, with the warming of the ocean.
Yeah.
For anyone that's traveled south, that's been a pretty big deal now that, you know, so that thing just comes, they pick it up every few hours and it's back again. So beyond that,
they have that machine that just kind of chews it up.
They actually. Other resorts have been to, they have, you know, they use the actual manpower, but this one here, yeah, just went up and down the beach and picked it up and got to figure out something to do with it. I'm like, yeah, can you cook this up? Can you do something with it?
Because there's could give you a good lobster in the sand recipe, but unfortunately, they don't have a lot of lobster in the Dominican.
No,
to my knowledge, I've not been to the Dominican.
No, they don't. So, yeah, you could do a little clam boil or lobster boil if you wanted, but no, not yet.
All right. Anyway, well, glad to hear you had a good time.
Yeah.
Was it a Saturday to Saturday or Sunday to Sunday?
No, it was Saturday to Saturday, which was real nice. We got back late Saturday night, and then yesterday just settled back in and started the day off with a little Canada. Pretty much on our way to World Cup victory a couple minutes in. And then by the end, I was just right off the bandwagon, and then I had to transition over to my Bucks, and that wasn't very good. So it was just one of those days where it's like, wow, I'm just going to have to relax here and get ready for work.
Yes. And the day and, I guess, morning capped by a Sens overtime win in Los Angeles to steady the ship, we'll put it that way, after a rough start to the week. They got a couple of wins on the weekend, much needed, as they return home to face the New York Rangers on Wednesday. All right, much more on that and a busy weekend in sports. Coming up, yes, we'll delve, of course, into the Sens win last night, get you all the post-game reaction. They beat L.A. 3-2 in overtime. Claude Giroux scores the game winner. So we'll go through all the hockey stuff with you and, of course, talk about Canada. It was the best of times. It was the worst of times against Croatia in a 4-1 loss, eliminating Canada from moving on. They still have one more game to play against Morocco coming up on Thursday. We get to play spoiler against the Moroccans. Can take the Moroccans. Take that, Casablanca. All right, so we'll have a chat on that. Of course, big NFL day, capped by my Eagles beating the Packers in Sunday Night Football last night. So we'll go through all the football stuff. So we got tons to get to. We're here till 11 o'clock this morning. This is the last of the days in which we get the four games a day. Starting tomorrow, it's basically two times, but they're playing at the same time, right? So you don't get the shenanigans when teams are playing, realize what the other teams in their groups have done, so they make them play them at the same time now. So as of tomorrow, starts with just two soccer times per day. Anyway, we'll get into all of it when we come back. We're glad you're with us on a Monday morning. Hope you had a great weekend. You're listening to Sports Radio, TSN 1200. Back 6:24 on this Monday morning. JR, Simmer, and Hammer with you. Lots to get to on this Monday. We'll get to the Sens overtime win in L.A. in just a second. Darcy has an update on the plane that you took down to the Dominican, Simmer, and its crashability or lack thereof. For Simmer, the 787 Dreamliner is the next generation Boeing. No crashes yet. The 737 MAX were the jets that were crashing due to software glitches.
Yeah.
That's been addressed.
Okay.
It comes from Darcy.
Oh, no. Again, unfortunately, and I didn't notice until we were leaving, Jer, but I had watched the documentary as usual on the other two crashes. And yeah, it was a couple of software, or I guess the training portion of it. But nope, the software was good, and it is a gorgeous plane. It's a 9-seater across. But my calculation, Jer, with almost 45 seats per 45 rows, I'm going to about 400 people.
Wow.
But you had the touch screen, you had the movies.
So nine across, is that the 252-333? Like, so, how does that work?
See, I like to set it up the same as I set up my soccer team. It's a 333.
Okay.
I'm still confused by all those setups in soccer, as whether they're starting in the back or the front. But anyways, it was a 333, and oh man, she's comfy. I gotta say, for anyone that's traveled south.
I'll raise a question here, okay. And again, a curiosity to me. So most people, there are some that travel as individuals, but especially when you're going to a resort, mostly it's a couple or two people, or it's a family, right?
For sure. Yeah.
And not to say that, that most families are three, but three seems odd to me. Seems like to me, there would be a lot of where you got a couple that's together and then you got like one member of a family on this row connected to, and maybe they're across the aisle, but maybe they're like two rows up and one seat over. I don't design a lot of the interiors of planes.
Okay.
I'd like to, and that, maybe that's my next vocation.
So what are you going with?
I might go with a 252.
Yeah. Now the issue with, and why I don't like your 252 setup, is the person that's in the middle of the five has to climb over two people every time they got to go to the bathroom.
That's your So does the person in the 333 that's sitting on the window.
That's a very good point by you.
Thank you.
That's it. You know, it's funny trying to think of some of the planes in the past, because you're right. I think they were, there were a lot that had the five in the middle. So, we'll have to, this is really leading right into soccer conversation. How do you want to set up your plane? Do you do it the same way you set up your soccer team?
I think JR really wants it to be a 1-4-4, where that one is just for anybody that's like 6'2 and taller.
Thank you.
True,
Let's carve out one seat and just give the leg room to people of average or above
And that
height.
Seat should be right in the middle. And then you just
have four ways.
Four on each side. You can just put the legs right out.
You can stretch left or you can stretch right.
You gotta watch, because when the cart's coming and you don't have any notice, you've just settled into a good snooze, and all of a sudden that cart hits your foot.
I actually got one in the knee once. She just jammed it right into my knee. Man, did that hurt.
She spots you like from like about five rows away.
This guy's knee. I'll show him. All right, 6:28. Let's get to the Sens game last night as they finished off the four-game Western road trip in L.A. Of course, the start of the road trip had not been very good. Losses in San Jose and in Vegas, to the point where as we headed into the weekend with games in Anaheim and L.A., I termed it a make-or-break weekend for D.J. Smith as far as him continuing as coach of the Ottawa Senators. That was not inside knowledge. That was just me kind of reading the tea leaves a little. Well, they got the win over Anaheim. At that point, the two teams tied for the worst record in the NHL, and they got a very lopsided win. They looked good in that game. Could they follow it up last night in Los Angeles and finish off the road trip at 2-2? Sens got the lead. L.A. tied it. Sens got the lead again. L.A. tied it. They went through a scoreless third period. Let's take you to overtime. Game tied at 2.
Here's Chabot back of his own net, and he is hassled by Kempe. Giroux has to come back to secure the puck. Shovels it out to center. Here's a breakaway chance. Busting in, Giroux. Backhand forehand. Scores! The overtime winner from Claude Giroux.
Oh, Dean, what a pass this was from Tim Stützle. And this happens very, very quickly, 20 seconds into the period.
There you go. There's Dean and Gord with the call of Claude Giroux's overtime winner. Yeah, just 20 seconds into the extra period. LA never even touched the puck. And the Sens get a much-needed win to end the road trip 3-2 in overtime. They end the trip at 2-2. Here is DJ Smith on finishing the road trip strong.
I know coming into this trip, we needed to get two. We wanted to get two wins. We didn't see ourselves dropping the first two, but we beat a really good team tonight. We got to get home and get some rest, and you got the Rangers back-to-back. Doesn't get easier.
There you go. We'll start on Wednesday night as the Sens are back home to face New York before going to New York for a game on Friday.
Yeah, and not easy, Jared, as you say, the negative momentum after a couple of losses, and obviously followed it by, from far. You go in and you dust up on Anaheim, who clearly looks like, much when Arizona came through, one of the lesser talents in the league. But I will say from a spacing standpoint and playing on a Sunday night and by standards of, 10:30 Eastern time, not an easy game. And all of a sudden, instead of 1-3 and just kind of dragging yourself home, hey, 2-2 feels pretty good. That ends up being a nice victory yesterday. And I know there was comments and asking, and I didn't watch any of it, but also in the Clippers playing in the afternoon and the ice being covered for a number of days for concerts. I don't know what kind of sheet they ended up having yesterday, but for Sens that shot them 19-8 in the first period, find a way to bring one like that home. I think as you realistically look at this on any baby steps and trying to be positive, can you somehow struggle and climb and claw your way to 500? I mean, that's probably what you're looking at 9-12-1 right now for the Ottawa Senators?
The Ottawa Senators are 8-12-1.
8-12-1. Okay. Yep. So that would be kind of the next goal of the next thought, and not an easy thing to end up accomplishing, but that certainly makes the trip feel completely different. The fact he just went 2-2 versus, as I said, it could have easily been a 1-3 or a 1-2-1 as we're back into soccer talk. We'll see on Wednesday. It's going to be fun to watch him against the New York Rangers. Very good hockey team.
And this, by the end of the week, they're playing the Rangers Friday. And then San Jose, Eric Karlsson in San Jose is here on Saturday. That's the Ottawa's first back-to-back, believe it or not, all season.
Comes up
later on this week and sets up actually a very busy month of December schedule-wise. They got a lot of games coming up. But, it's just funny how they go 2-2. If they win the first two games and lose the last two, it's a completely different conversation we're having this morning. Yeah. And it probably shouldn't, right? Yeah. It should be the same conversation. Your goal going into any road trip, I think, is to, at minimum, go 2-2. Yeah. I mean, Ottawa's put themselves behind the eight ball with their I wouldn't call it mediocre. It was a terrible start to the year. No doubt about that compared to expectations. Yeah. They put themselves behind the eight ball where – going 500 on a road trip is actually, you're not getting any traction as far as, you know, getting toward where you're going to be playing meaningful games at the end of the season. That was bare minimum, but after the first two games, I guess you take it.
Yeah, you really do, and you keep kind of trying to chat it up, and again, just following on social media, the things being said by the coach and the players, hey, yeah, you have no choice. I mean, you know, you look at the obvious, and the obvious is not based on just how you've played. It's whether or not you win a few, but realistically, where are you at in the standings? And we marked on Thursday as we got to American Thanksgiving. At that point, hey, you're 10 points out, and you know, you look to some of the positives, but no, that's not the start that the Ottawa Senators wanted to have to the season. And right now you're just kind of climbing and clawing, as I said, to try to maybe get back to 500 and all the negative swirl after, you know, an incredible summer. I mean, those are tough things for a club where, hey, other years you kind of say, you know what, we'd like to be better, but you're part of a rebuild. Well, that wasn't the case this year. And I think it's also, as you look around, you just look at some of the teams that are above you in the standings, and that's another part that you kind of say to yourself, no, I didn't expect to be way up with the Boston Bruins, although we didn't even expect Boston to be there, or some of the top teams here, but there's a lot of teams that you said, man, we should on paper be a better hockey team than some of the teams that are above us in the standings.
Right. As the standings sit right now, and again, I don't know that people necessarily thought playoffs. In fact, a lot of people, you know, even the club itself or the management and the coaching staff said didn't utter the P word. It's all about playing meaningful games all season.
Yeah.
Meaningful games means you're in the playoff chase, which means you got to be within, you know, they fell as far as 10. They're 8 back of 8th place. As we sit here this morning past the American Thanksgiving weekend, which is your typical kind of, you played 20 games, you kind of have an idea what you are by this point in the season at the quarter pole. And right now the Ottawa Senators are, well, they're one of the bottom teams in the NHL. That's the bottom line. But in terms of DJ Smith, I mean, as I said, my read on it going into the weekend is I actually thought they would have to win both games. I was just kind of looking at the way things were unfolding. Talked to, you know, Pierre Dorion had said the last time we heard from him going into a 10-game stretch, this stretch is pivotal coming up.
Yeah.
Going into the weekend, they were 2-6, in 8 of those 10 games. Now they finish 4-6. 4-6 is probably, when he said these are pivotal, is still far less than I'm sure that he anticipated and wanted. But again, it ends on a slightly better note than, you know, you mix and match those four wins in another way. You probably are feeling worse this morning, but they got the two wins at the end. Maybe you're feeling a little bit better.
Yeah. And I also, JR, and again, I think we're all, hey, we talk for 20 hours a week and a lot of it's Ottawa Senators based. I don't think as you get into year 4 and where this hockey team is at, this is not, you know, something, oh my God, you shouldn't be talking about it. Hey, you know, this is exactly, this is not a team. When you look at the consistency, you look at the amount of penalties they take, which to me is an issue as far as being undisciplined. When you talk about structure, you talk about a lot of things, then yeah, you would point to and ask yourself, is there a coaching situation or a change to be made? So I don't, like I said, I don't think that's a wrong statement at all. And I think for where they're at in their program and where they want to go next level, I kind of look at this big picture. I mean, you know, and sometimes coaching decisions, we talked a lot about Bruce Boudreau, you know, it shouldn't always be about, well, you know what, we're having a little losing streak, a winning streak. Now, there's times where you just have to make a coaching change, but then you have to ask yourself, as an organization, for everything you put into this, is G.J. Smith the coach to take you to the next level? I think that's a very legitimate question that every Senators fan, not just based on the start of the season, just the overall body of work, is this realistically going to match up with where you want to go as an organization?
Well, for the last two games, starting Friday in Anaheim and then last night in L.A., they got more back to, I think, the type of hockey that if you watch the games, you kind of went, okay, all right. Because those were quality wins. Now, again, Anaheim's terrible. Yeah. They may be the worst team in the National Hockey League. Arizona is actually playing. Arizona may have lesser talent, or maybe they're of equal talent, but Arizona is actually having a pretty good start to the year considering how many games they played on the road. So Anaheim may be the worst team, and Ottawa waxed them on Friday. The game last night, I mean, L.A. is a, you know, they were going into the game last night, ninth place overall. Now their goaltending this season had been pretty mediocre, but it's a pretty, pretty talented team that made the playoffs last year. Mm-hmm. They're at home. Like, you know, LA is a good hockey team. They went in and the Sens were the better team on the night. They outshot them 39-27 overall. They outshot them 5-on-5, I think 34-25. All the advanced metrics, the analytics, et cetera, they all tipped in Ottawa's favor, which is one of the things that they have been saying all along is our underlying numbers are good. Yeah. You know, we just haven't been getting the breaks. And once the breaks start to go our way, because breaks always tend to even out, then we should be much better. So maybe this weekend was a tipping point. Yeah. I know we say that all the time. Maybe this weekend, the two wins in California, in Los Angeles and Anaheim, maybe that's an indication that the Sens have turned the corner. We'll find out soon enough when they play the New York Rangers on Wednesday.
Yeah, it's so interesting, JR, because I guess based on, and forget about the coaching part, but just from a player standpoint, in the 3 years of watching the group, and now, and again, still very young, but so far we've seen this year, at least for me, and I didn't watch again the road trip, but they haven't built up enough trust where you feel like a team is on the verge, right? Where, oh my God, I think they're going to all of a sudden could win 7 or 8 in a row. A couple of things here. First of all, you come home from the West Coast trip, and it's never easy, and I do say for the Sunday night, to me, that's a real quality victory, but now you follow up, and as you said, because of a lot of people or a lot of teams based on the holidays coming up, it is a condensed schedule where now all of a sudden, from that standpoint, this schedule up until basically last night, JR, has been incredible. Like I guess that's a bit of the downside. This has been a really, really favorable schedule for Ottawa, and you're 8-12-1. Now as you enter into the next quarter of the year, yeah, it's going to be real interesting. And if they can get back to 500, if they can start to get on some winning streaks and some consistency, then I think you could start to buy into the program a little bit, but I have not felt that yet. So, hey, let's see what the week brings.
New York Rangers, as we said, back-to-back coming up, or at least two games in a row against New York, and then back-to-back games, New York on the road, and then San Jose here on Saturday. That is the week ahead for the Ottawa Senators. All right, your thoughts? Have you stayed up late to watch the game? And just looking back through the text that came in, and probably a few dozen texts came in, so a lot of people decided to start their work week by staying up super late, like 10, like, come on, 10, come on, NHL, 10:30 on a Sunday night, like Anaheim played at 8. How come LA doesn't get the 8 o'clock in Anaheim? They're Anaheim, who did Anaheim play? They played Seattle, two West Coast teams, let them play the 10:30 game.
Yeah.
Doesn't seem right.
Yeah, kind of interesting, because at least I believe I'm correct in saying the Mighty Ducks are not so mighty anymore. The Ducks of Anaheim do not share their building with anybody, where we do have a very busy building with the LA Kings, along with the Clippers and Lakers and whatever else. I can only think from a concert standpoint, got to be one of the busiest buildings in probably in the world right there.
Absolutely. All right, so Sens win 3-2 in overtime in Los Angeles, and the road trip at 2-2. And as we said, back home to face the New York Rangers coming up on Wednesday. Quick update, this World Cup game that's going on right now. Holy cow, 6 goals.
Whoa.
6 goals between Cameroon and Serbia, split evenly. Serbia was up 3-1 early in the second half. Cameroon has come back with 2 in a row, so it's 3-3. They're playing in the 76th minute, so we'll keep our eye on that for you throughout the rest of the next 15 or 20 minutes or so. Don't forget, we got some World Cup games coming up for you later on today. Game of the day is Brazil versus Switzerland at 11 o'clock. We're going to take you up until that game. That's right, Simmer. Putting in an extra hour. That's what Lloydie and I did all last week. OT.
And Hammer. And I don't know what any update on the Flex Brew 2? On the
Flex Brew
2?
What do you mean?
No, I just want to make sure that, because I don't usually dip in too much for the coffee, but on the first day back there, I hope there's a little bit for me.
Hey? Solid. Oh, yeah, it's solid. Okay. Yeah, no. Hammer's been cooking it up well.
Nice.
It's piping, and I've last week cooked up a little extra too, and it did not go to waste.
Nice. Take it out, every little last drop out of that.
There we go. All right, share your thoughts. You can text us at 12-1200, tweet at us at TSN1200. Get your thoughts throughout the morning. We'll talk to Dave Poulin. He's our TSN hockey insider. He'll join us coming up after 8. When we come back, though, we'll talk about Canada at the World Cup. As hopes of moving on have been dashed, but hey, we got a goal. For the first time, we'll come back and chat about that next, right here on Sports Radio TSN 1200. And on this Monday morning, J.R. Simmer and Hammer with you. Dave Poulin's coming up after 8. Talk more about the Sens 3-2 overtime win in L.A. last night. They're home to the New York Rangers coming up on Wednesday. By the way, they did not take the red-eye charter thing back. They're actually not flying out until noon today, our time. All about sleep cycles.
Yeah.
Well, since they've moved to charters, obviously, you can kind of do whatever you want, but that's one of the new things that I think NHL, especially those that are on either coast, kind of go, you know what, it's way more important for guys to sleep in a hotel for another night and travel during the day so their sleep cycles aren't crazy.
Yeah, kind of a funny mix because for a lot of players, JR, it takes a long time to kind of come down off of a game, but anybody that's ever flown a red eye, the only thing you think about when you fly overnight is going back to bed. I really kind of never understood it. You know, if you really have meetings, and again, we're not talking about sports people, it is really, and I know this is first class, but it's just tough on the body to land. So it makes lots of sense, and also very thankful that you don't have that first game until the Wednesday as well. Lots of teams, and I think it was Toronto, we got to that pivotal time when I thought they'd come home on a Sunday and had to play Tuesday at home and ended up getting a nice result. But we'll, as I said, a little spacing here, but makes lots of sense.
Yeah. Remember the one time, I don't remember which of the terrible seasons the Sens have had lately when they went on a, well, actually it was out to California. And then on the way back, they randomly played a game in Buffalo.
Yeah.
That was when Carlson was still with the team.
Oh, yeah. No,
and he called off the practice.
I remember it was a Monday and a Tuesday. They had an optional. Nobody showed up. Yes. It was like, no. Nobody wanted to leave the room. And I also think we might have started to designate, which also in the final presser, of the Guy Boucher area, that was the rest as a weapon really became quite an issue that maybe we're resting just a little bit too much.
Was that the road trip that went Islanders, Winnipeg, California, and then Buffalo on the way back? Like, it was the most bizarre road trip I've seen in my life.
It may have, but even back to Jared, did the Hamburglar run, did they not start in Philadelphia and then go west? Or is that a different where they went west and then went to Minnesota and Winnipeg?
Simmer, all the bad seasons started to blend in.
But they went, that one that they went west on the Hamburglar run, I remember they went to Minnesota because they won.
Yeah.
And then Craig Anderson was supposed to start in Winnipeg, and
he
just got that Hamburglar, and that was the hand injury. And the Hamburglar, somehow they found a way, I think at least got 1 point in Minnesota and then one against Winnipeg. Nice. Then you're kind of like, whoa, this is kind of interesting what's going down here.
All right. Don't know if we're on a Hamburglar-esque type run for the Sens, but they have won two games in a row. Okay, 6:50. Let's turn our attention to the World Cup. Should tell you that Cameroon-Serbia still 3-3. They're in the 86th minute right now. That's the first match of four today, of course. People still, if you're a Canadian soccer fan, I don't know how, you know what? This would be a good gauge how everybody's feeling this morning. Happy that they got a goal. Sad that they took another loss and have been eliminated. I guess we can get into that discussion, but let's relive that magical moment that came so early in yesterday's match with Croatia.
Buchanan with the cross in towards Alfonso Davies! He missed the penalty in the opener. He makes amends today. Canada's history-making moment delivered by their biggest superstar. A goal the country has been dreaming about for decades finally arrives.
There's our friend Luke Wellman with a call on TSN yesterday of Alfonso Davies' goal 68 seconds into the match. The fastest goal in a group stage match at the World Cup since 2014, so a couple of World Cups ago. Like, how many people, in all honesty, because, you know, if you're a big soccer fan, absolutely. But if you're kind of, you know, we got a lot of casual fans that are tuning in because of all the hype about Canada. And we all think, yeah, you know what? takes like 5, 7, 8 minutes before they kind of, you know, they're usually just kind of kicking around. Everybody's sort of warming up. How many people were still in the kitchen making a coffee and totally missed the goal? Like my wife, like my wife, my wife was like, I'm like, they just scored. She goes, what? She comes running in.
And that was a funny thing. We were scrambling around with the Bell 5 TV, and sure enough, it came on. It was 7 seconds already. It's not like, and I know it's timed perfectly, but it's not like in the National Hockey League where you've got double anthems and the 7 o'clock tilt starts at 7:07. Nope, well, that game's supposed to start at 11 o'clock. You know what? That ball's going to be started at 7 at 11 a.m., and you're right. And for that to happen, it was just really cool and glad to end up seeing it and to watch and to track the play. And they had the little laser on Alphonso Davies. What was it, 50 yards at JR that he basically tracked
that
through?
Far? All I know is that the last 20 yards he covered in about half a second.
Yeah.
Like as soon as he saw the ball in the air and he saw that there was room between the defenders, it was like a beeline and nobody's faster than him.
No.
Like incredible how fast he got to that
and
ball.
And to elevate with the speed and everything else. Yeah, it was just a magical play. And I'll say to it, I guess I just had, you know, I wouldn't say mixed emotions, but I guess scoring a goal because I was kind of in the back of my mind, Jared, thinking, God, this would be fun if we could get one more, get out of the stage, right? So I didn't feel like, and the first goal is very historic, but it wasn't to me like any consolation prize, I guess. It's awesome, and I'm glad it's kind of Alphonso Davies, but I wasn't after the game like, ah, great, we scored a goal. It was more kind of like, ah, gosh, I just wish we would have squeaked through to the final 16. At least that's what I was left with after the match, not to mention that it was very humbling to understand just what a different level that Croatia is on versus Canada by the time you watch that whole match yesterday.
I was just going to say about that opening goal and how quick it was. We were watching it, my sons and I, with my brothers and a couple of friends were watching it at a local establishment. My oldest brother decided right at the beginning of the match was a good time to go to the bathroom.
What?
He did not make it back in time for the goal.
Yeah.
He listened to everybody screaming and yelling and roaring, as I imagine he was just taking care of some business.
Yeah, hopefully he finished up properly, didn't try to scramble out.
Didn't get
toilet
jolted.
Paper hanging out of his pants. What happened?
What did I miss?
Yeah.
Yeah, just Canada's first World Cup goal, that's all.
Well, it started well. And actually, I mean, Canada carried the play for a period of time, mm-hmm. and then it just kind of started to turn. This is the great thing about soccer is that you can almost see the change happen. And as that first half went on, the Croatians started to get more and more possession. And it felt like when they finally scored the goal, it was like, well, you could see that one coming a mile away. Then they got the second one kind of a botched play that just kind of ended up on a guy's foot and it was in the back of the net. And before you knew it, 1-0 was 2-1 and they're down at halftime. And you're thinking, well, you know what Canada's got some goal scorers. Maybe they can make a game of it in the second half. And then this pretty much ended it.
It's cutting in with the cross in towards the back post. Controlled that by Kramaric. It's 3-1 for Croatia. It's the second of the day for Kramaric, and Canada's World Cup hopes now hanging by a thread.
There you go. And they would add another one later. 4-1 is the final, and 4-1, and that's with old Sweatpants, who wasn't wearing the sweatpants, making a couple of huge saves, too. I mean, literally, they could have had 5, 6, maybe even 7 goals. Croatia, I mean, the shots on goal were 10-2. As you said, I mean, Croatia was just operating at a completely different level than Canada.
Yeah.
And so I guess two ways to look at it. I mean, we're eliminated.
Yeah.
So you look at it. Okay. Got the first goal. Check. They got a game against Morocco coming up to get a result, be it a tie or better yet, a first win ever at a World Cup. Yeah. Check those boxes. 2022 is in the rearview mirror at that point, and it's all systems go for 2026. Mm-hmm. What it shows me is that we've got some very talented people up front, and Alphonso Davies is an all-world player. But man alive, we got some huge holes in the rest of the from the midfield to the back end. Right there, I hope for our sake that there is some great young players that are coming up to fill because they're old Atiba Hutchinson.
Yeah.
I mean, fantastic, 100 caps for Canada, most decorated player in the history of our country soccer, men's soccer wise. But man alive, he was just eaten alive in that game yesterday.
Well, I think it was the third goal between his legs. Like, he just, you know, again, it seized up at that point. Also, kind of going back, JR, with the first goal that was considered to be offside, I'm like, okay, you know, kind of take a deep breath here. And then it just continued. And it is the give and go. It's the tactical and skill portion. And I guess inside the box itself, when you see a match like this, and again, all the hype, and we can get to the kind of the coaches' comments as well. But from a Croatian standpoint, and even Canada, you're feeling each other out, right? You have no familiarity. So I think at first the Croatians realized, okay, wow, this is a very athletic group, but they don't tactically have the ability to play together the way that we do. And as that started to feel out, they figured out the defending, you know, Alfonso Davies. I don't say trying to do it by himself, but, you know, it wasn't the same. Then all of a sudden, they started off the transition off their left side, and they just picked Canada apart, and then inside the defensive area. Yeah, it was just an absolute clinic. And if you had one of those goals, and like the offside one, you'd say, okay, you have a breakdown. But then the realization, they just realized, man, this crew back here doesn't have a clue what they're doing working together. We're just going to pick them apart, and that's what they did the rest of the match.
So Canada's got one group stage match left, as we said, against Morocco. Comes up on Thursday, and we get to play spoiler, or try to play spoiler in that match, because Morocco beat Belgium yesterday 2-0, and I think a bit of a shock. So I don't know whether that's to say that Morocco's better than people thought, or maybe Belgium is way overrated.
Yeah.
I mean, anybody who watched the Canada-Belgium match would say, overall, even though we lost 1-0, that probably Canada was the better side of the two. So maybe it's more that the Belgians aren't who we thought they were. The number two ranked team in the world is maybe a tad overrated. So this Morocco side, that world rankings, I think Canada and Morocco, I think AJ told us, right? They're pretty much even or pretty close. That this will be a good test for Canada as well, and they'll be motivated because I do think they want to get to result, be it a tie or better yet a win. And you know, again, playing nothing wrong with playing spoiler as long as John Herdman doesn't talk about. F Morocco like he did against Croatia, because that kind of bit him in the backside.
Yeah, it really did, and that's kind of a separate subject, but I agree with you. And also, I kind of, in reviewing this, and you don't know coming in, I know you commented on when one of your Belgian players, I don't know how good the player is, JR, had the Alfie moment about we're too old to win, and then you come up and lose to Morocco. And this was some of the thought coming in, that the Belgium group kind of wasn't on the same page, and you know, everything that happened. You kind of look back to that and say, hey, that should have been the one Canada got a result, right? Where you hope going in against Morocco, you got a chance to advance, but that's not the case. And as far as Mr. Herdman, an interesting tournament for him, right? It's been nothing but great. And I've always said this, just like players, he's a young coach. And you learn from situations. And I'm assuming both tactically, some of the things in leaving Hutchinson in, to maybe the way they played yesterday, but certainly to the comments leading into that, it's a learning experience for him. And probably the first time that he's... you know, not have the Midas touch when it comes to Soccer Canada, both on the men's and women's side.
I agree with you 1,000%. You know, John Herdman has been for, you know, and rightfully so, has been kind of the golden boy, right? From his time with the women's team to now with the men's team. Everything that he has touched, as you said, has the Midas touch. It's all turned out, relatively speaking, you know, from good to great. This is the first time that he's had a stumble. First with the comments. And then agree a lot. You know, there's a lot of people who watch this team very closely that say tactically, he got outmatched yesterday by the by the Croatian coach. So,
and when I saw the comments, I say this because we do say in sports a lot of times, right? If a coach says something or a player, you're like, what does it really mean? There is something so different, as you know, JR, the pride that people have nationally, right? Like you love your hockey team, you love your Eagles. I kind of love my Pats, but you know what I mean. But on a national level. And when you go through historically, and I don't think there's a country in the world that isn't super proud, but when you understand the Croatian background as a smaller country, everything that went on with that country in the last, you know, 100 years, when you rile up a group like that, it's just different. Like it does strike differently. And you could tell that coach was just ready. And I'll also say from Herdman's standpoint, that would have been a nice closing moment, as he should have found the coach after the game and that little handshake.
Yeah.
I would even try to set up a meeting with him just to say, hey, you know what? Don't leave this. I'd close this up. You know, I thought he handled his presser in the last couple of days not bad, but I'd seal this one up right now. Like, that would have been a nice opportunity to say, you know what, I effed up. you're the better squad, and just close this one up. I wouldn't want to let this kind of sit personally.
Here were the comments of Croatian coach Zlatko Dalic. Quote, I did not see the other coach after the match. He was not there, and that's his way of doing things. He's a high-quality professional, but it will take some time for him to learn some things.
Yeah.
End quote. All right, we'll take a break. 7 o'clock. Your thoughts on the match yesterday, from that opening goal to what transpired the rest of the way. Love to get it from you. You can text us at 12-1200, tweet at us at TSN 1200. Go through your comments throughout the day, throughout the morning, as we're here till 11 o'clock. Gordon Smith, our soccer analyst, will join us with his thoughts coming up later on this morning as well. Can tell you, just finishing up, Serbia and Cameroon. 3-3 is the full-time score, so that one ends in a tie. We'll take a break. Top of the hour news and sports update is upcoming. Hour two is around the corner. More on the Sens as we get a late-night win in L.A. 3-2 in overtime. You're listening to Sports Radio TSN 1200.